Scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. I'd like to invite you to join there with me in the text. As I read the text, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And would you all stand together as I read? These are the words of Jesus. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? May the Lord bless this part of his word to us today, to our understanding, to our obedience, and to our joy. Thank you all very much. When you pray, what do you say to God? Now, we have to be careful here. The Sermon on the Mount is not hoity-toity about what we say to God. Jesus knows that we can be tongue-tied and speak nonsense when we pray. He remembered our weakness, but he made a generous promise. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Anyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. No. Wait. That's too open-ended. What's the catch? Ask what? Seek what? Is this a bait and switch routine? Am I going to ask for something I really want, and then I'm going to get something I don't want, or get nothing at all? Jesus anticipated our suspicion. So he went on to say, now which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And you say, well, of course, I'm going to give my children bread and fish every time, but you don't know my kids. My kids ask for stones and snakes, and they think they're asking for bread and fish. I don't give them what they ask every time. It's not good for them. To which Jesus simply replies, well, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Did you hear that? He just called us evil. But he said it so nicely. And with no edge in his voice, you can't be upset. Besides, he was comparing us with God, and I am definitely lacking. But he also said, we do good things for our kids. So I'm not all bad. I'm really glad he said that. But I get it. Because I'm lacking, then I don't measure up. But I can still do good things for my kids. So can't we trust God Can't we trust God to be discerning about what we ask Him to do for us, just the way we are discerning about what our children ask us to do for them? We try to teach them about the real world. Our Heavenly Father does the same. He is the ultimate realist. So my takeaway from all of this is, ask God for what you want. He will give you something good. There's more to prayer than this, but I have a feeling that almost all prayer has to begin here if we're ever going to learn how to pray. Now, Jesus said a lot more about prayer. Did you notice the unifying theme in the scriptures we read on the screen this morning? Be careful that you don't do your acts of righteousness before men. When you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do, so that they'll be honored by men. When you pray, go in your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. When you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard for their much speaking. Don't be ostentatious in your piety. It is insufferable humbug. It is unbecoming to the majesty of God. And it says, weigh the wrong thing, gives the wrong impression about what a righteous person you are. Jesus gave an excellent way to avoid repetitive babbling, and he taught us what to say when we pray, when we tire of treating God like Santa at the mall. This is how we should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's how we should pray. First of all, because it reminds us of our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us rain in the Central Valley of California. Give us rain on the great plains of the Midwest. Help farmers to get their crops in the ground on time. Give us truckers to haul the bounty of creation from farm to market. Give us a computer-integrated system that makes sure the food is on the shelf when we go to buy it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We think it's okay to hold grudges. That's why Jesus shocks us when he says to us, love your enemies. We had rather hate than to heal relationships. The Lord's Prayer forces us to ask what the world would be like if God treated us like that. Deliver us from evil. We're a lot more aware of our need for protection because of the world that we live in has become so dangerous. War, the threats of jihadists, the violence against women and children, the collapse of a national morality into political correctness makes it urgent to pray for God's protection. That's how we should pray, because the Lord's Prayer also reminds us that the great matters of life that matter the most are not food and forgiveness and protection. Hallowed be thy name. Let the profaning of your name even remind us of Jesus and the church and forgiveness and judgment to come. Hallowed be thy name when the world hollows out the sanctity of your name by its profaneness. Thy kingdom come. Hey, I love my country, especially on the 4th of July. But this country needs a revolution greater than the one of the founding fathers. Our first loyalty is to the coming king and to the coming kingdom, not to the Constitution. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it costs us what it cost Jesus in Gethsemane to do the will of God on earth, then give us grace to pay that price so that the relationships of heaven can be replicated in the relationships of earth. Jesus said over and over, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. In other words, watch Jesus and you will see what God's authority looks like in human life. Watch Jesus and you will see God's priorities on display. As the Lord's Prayer teaches us, it can be a very different thing. His authority will contradict our authority. His priorities will contradict our priorities. Unlikely disciples become extravagant disciples when we allow our priorities to be corrected by the Lord whom we follow. We learn sooner or later that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We learn sooner or later we are doing him no favor by following him. Jesus is pouring out the new wine of heaven upon this earth, and it remains to be seen whether disciples then or disciples now are wineskins that can stretch and not split under the pressure of his expanding presence in our experience. The one who gave us the prayer is here with us. In the bread and in the cup, we hold in our hands the visible representations of the one who said to them and who says to us, watch me, and you will see what God is like. God is with you. Don't miss him. We won't miss him if we keep in step with the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit when we pray. Now, there are many ways to do that. Let's talk about one. Starting today, make the Lord's Prayer a part of your daily life, every day, for the rest of your life. You can start right here as you hold the bread and the cup in your hand. As you and I receive the bread and the cup this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you may not be part of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, but you are one of us. We are brothers and sisters, and we want you to eat and to drink with us. If the idea of praying is a foreign idea to you, maybe it's because you've never come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. You could begin that personal knowledge right here, right now, by your first prayer. You could say to him something as simple as, "Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died to wash away my sins. I believe that you offer me everlasting life. I receive your forgiveness and I receive your life. Show me how to live." If you've never done that, why not? Why not right here, right now? This would be the most supportive, understanding congregation you'll ever find on the face of the earth. But until you do, it's better not to receive the bread and the cup. Our habit is to pray, and our brother David Cordray is going to give thanks for the bread. We serve it, and then we all eat together. David, thank you very much.